morning, afternoon, night, folks. I am Jake Mosier, and this is the Super Mosier Brothers Show, a podcast where two brothers and best friends take their lifelong passion to talk about video games away from the family dinner table and to the in-person microphone. I am joined right next to my left knee, Sam Mosier. How are you doing?
I think you should have left it in.
I was making weird stomach noises, and let me tell you, folks, they will keep happening. So if you really want to hear them, just listen closely. There'll be little Easter eggs spread throughout.
We both had Chipotle before this, so maybe it'll come for both of us. Who knows?
Sam, how are you doing?
Jake, we had a little E3 on the glorious day of our Lord, April 2nd today.
Don't you mean Liberation Day?
Oh, God. I mean, how am I doing? The only thing I can think about today is Nintendo, because if I think about anything else, and even if I think about Nintendo too hard, tariffs get in there too.
Sam, we're going to be $3 trillion richer.
10%. 10% on everything. 10%. How are you, Jake?
I am good. As you have stated, this lovely Nintendo Switch 2 Direct has kind of outweighed all the other shitty things going on. No, don't get me wrong. There were some shitty things that came after the Nintendo Switch 2 Direct. Do I ultimately think that Nintendo made the right decision to just leave it out? Probably. There's no winning here. You're going to lose either way. But we'll get into that. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that the Switch 2 is finally here. I'm happy that it is as soon as 2 fucking months away, which is crazy to say out loud. I'm just excited to be here.
We did it, Jake. Over a year ago, we were thinking that this thing was going to happen at any moment, and it only took much longer, but the Nintendo Switch 2 is not only real, but we know what its first, I would say kind of just first 3 months look like, which is exciting in and of itself, but we know the price point, we know the launch date, we kind of know what the games are going to cost, mostly. I wish we knew the 100%, but I don't even know where to start, Jake. Where would you like to?
I say it's enough dancing around some of the specifics. Folks, we're going to be talking about the Switch 2 Direct today. We're going to be going through our highlights, our opposite of highlights, our predictions we made a year ago, our predictions we made last week. So let's get into it. Thank you to listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you to listening, if your name is listening, but also thank you for listening. It means so much. If you enjoy it, subscribe to it in your podcast. Please leave us a review, share it with your friends. It would mean the country to us, Donkey Kong country. He's more important now.
It would mean the bonanza to us.
It would mean a bonanza to us. We woke up this morning, 7:45. Murphy attacked you in the bathroom. It was time to get started.
Murphman.
We sit down. We watch the Kinda Funny reactions. It was a lovely time. I say we start, in my opinion, I would like to kind of talk about everything non-game related and then get into the games. I think before any of that, as we normally do with any showcase, Sam, what did you think of this as a showcase? I know some people think talking about the showcase is silly. I think as two people who work in the marketing sphere parts of that business, I think it's relevant to talk about. What did you think of this as the big selling point for the Switch 2?
I think, minus some questions that I think could have been answered, it was a well-done showcase.
I
wish the price had been in there. I almost even wish that it had been, like, clarified whether games are going to cost different digitally versus physically. That's still kind of a question mark. But outside of those things, the other positive surprise, maybe not positive, but just surprise, I don't know really, I'm kind of neutral on it, is that there wasn't as much first-party stuff as I think we thought. We'll talk about it if we have time at the end here, comparing what we got to what we predicted on last week's episode. And we open with Mario Kart, we close with Donkey Kong, we get some other Nintendo stuff in there, but not a whole lot of, like, ports or, frankly, even things coming this fall. We didn't get a look at anything, really, coming from Nintendo in 2026. So that is exciting, but at the same time, I think really did make this a launch direct for the Switch. So we got a look at Mario Kart. We then got about 20-ish minutes on the hardware itself. Then we got a robust, and I think intentionally so, third-party section, really trying to make a point. And then we closed with a couple first-party surprises. I think it was well-paced. It was never boring. I thought the third-party stuff was largely all very exciting, and even the stuff side-eyeing Borderlands 4 as I say this, that didn't excite me, did not go on too long. What did you think? And I want to bring up one of your good points you made after you do that.
I thought this was a fantastic showcase. It was not perfect, but it was very good. I agree with you that I think the major miss in terms of how this quote-unquote was paced or what information was or was not included, I think the biggest omission was the price of the console. I don't think, at least in my opinion, with what's going on in the economy right now, with the state of video games, that the price for the console is really all that egregious. I think it is understandable. It's, I don't know if respectable is the word, but I don't have an issue with it. And for that reason, I think that would have been safe and fine to include. On the other hand, the other big omission here was the price of games, where I've kind of fallen both sides of the coin. I don't ultimately know what is the right decision. My big complaint is that everyone is kind of now left in this purgatory where they don't know what games are going to cost, because the prices that we have seen haven't even directly come from Nintendo. In some of the cases, they're spread out. In terms of what's digital, what's physical, from retail, does that mean retail everywhere? Does that mean retail here? I don't know if that would have fit here. Nintendo has never been the kind of company to be transparent about this type of information. It'd be bizarre to see them in the showcase pause to explain why games are going to cost more, why they're going to cost the way they are. But I also think they maybe should have been prepared to have a press release immediately after detailing exactly what the prices of all launch games are going to be, why they are the way they are, instead of just like slowly drip feeding what these are. Those complaints aside, I thought this was a, as you said, fantastic Switch 2 seller direct, in that the excitement for the Switch 2 is already at a fever pitch. As long as they didn't completely drop the ball, this was going to be received well. And I think it was, and I think they made the right decision. I think Nintendo, more so than any other gaming company right now, can sustain excitement in a way PlayStation, Xbox, etc. can't. If they would have shown us a bunch of first-party games, this would have been a direct for the ages, but would I have been craving the direct in summer or September? Would I be checking Blue Sky to see if someone's tweeting about when the next direct is going to be? Probably not. Not that that's a necessity. I don't need that in my gaming diet, but I think it's cool that they were able to have an exciting, interesting showcase while still keeping me immensely excited for the future. I think of a PlayStation where I'm waiting for the showcase. I'm like, okay, we're probably going to see Ghost 2. We're probably going to see the next game from Naughty Dog, and that'll probably be what it is. And then we get it, and it's satisfying, and it's cool, but kind of the boxes have been checked. There's something really cool about finishing this and being like, wow, thought I was going to see a 3D Mario. Instead, I saw a super cool 3D Donkey Kong, and now I still get to be excited for the thing I didn't get to see. And I think that's a really good place to be. Yes, the additional information about pricing stuff dragged it down afterwards, but I was very, very happy with this.
Yeah, the error in the balloon was deflated a bit immediately following it, but I think that is why your question is even more important to have been asked, which is, yes, this was an excellent showcase, maybe at the cost of some of the vibes afterward, but I thought it was well done. The point you made I wanted to resurface was, I think it is impressive that the showcase worked as well as it did, even despite the fact that about 20 minutes in the middle of the hardware section, you did say, oh, they actually probably could have said a lot of this, in January when they first revealed this thing.
And it kind of ties back into what I was just saying about not revealing first-party games. Nintendo knows they do not need to do those things. They know people will wait. They know people will still be excited. And more often than not, they're not going to be disappointed. They knew they had what I would argue is the upper end of what people could have hoped for. We have 4K, up to 4K, 120 frames per second, HDR support. I would say all three of those, even with frames per second, exceeding what people thought we were going to get. We have a 1080 handheld screen, which, again, is the upper end of what people would have asked for. We have upgraded sound, which isn't expectation, but it's nice to have. And then we have 256 gigabytes of storage, which you predicted that we would have.
Not 64. Yeah.
And so I shout out to Giant Bomb when they did 64 and then they showed the reveal for the next one. I think Jeff Grubb goes 65 gigabytes of data. They kind of exceeded most people's expectations here. I will get to some things later on with Pro Controller, with the Nintendo Switch 2 Edition games. No, I don't think they made the consumer-friendly choice everywhere. Nor do I think they made the best decision in each area. But I think more often than not, every announcement was mostly a positive. There really wasn't much, until afterwards, dragging any of this down.
I will caveat here, like, you know, we've already said the price of the console is $450. You can get a Mario Kart 9 bundle for $500, which didn't really make me raise an eyebrow so much, but the eyebrow has continued to get higher as I've learned what Mario Kart World costs. The website, which I'm on right now for us to when we talk about the game itself later, lists the MSRP as $79.99. Now, there is some confusion, at least initially, the rumors or the reporting was, this is the retail price, the physical retail price, and the digital version is going to be $70. And then, has it been confirmed, or is it still up in the air of whether $80 is the digital price and $90 is the physical version?
I think it is unfortunately the latter, though I still haven't seen official confirmation, because to me, when I hear retail price, I think what is going to be sold at stores, not what is going to be the digital price. Now, Nintendo has $79.99 on their website, which to me would be really weird to advertise the higher price if it is going to be available digitally at $70. So by all means, I think it's going to be $80.
And Donkey Kong is priced at $69.99 on the website. So again, questions of whether that's 70 digital, 80 physical, or vice versa, or lower, you know, or minus $10 from all of this.
While we're on this topic, VGC had an article a few hours ago that some of the Nintendo 2 Edition games are $80. That Mario Jamboree is $80. Now, then again, they keep using the word, this is not a drag on the journalist, this is them probably not having the information, they keep using the word retail price. Does that mean it's $80 for the physical version? All the pictures are of the physical version. Are they digitally $70? I have no fucking idea, but $80 for a game that used to cost $60 with what kind of looks like three bad modes is... That is the Nintendo, what are you doing, man, kind of decision that they make more often than not, unfortunately.
So all this goes to say, I think the 256 gigabytes of built-in storage was really good news during the Direct, but what is seemingly being a very, very sharp and pointed stake at putting everybody toward digital purchases with this pricing makes the 256 gigabytes of storage less cool.
And another piece of, we're going to get to being positive, I promise. Yeah. Another piece of bad news that came out later, and another thing that lends to a question mark on whether the storage was as good as news it sounds, apparently the Switch 2 cartridges will not hold the actual data like the current Switch cartridges do. They will be a link, a file to
basically
the digital version.
The same thing that like a PS5 disc is now. So yeah, I mean, what? This will hopefully be like five big, the meaty Nintendo games. I don't know. I know Nintendo's better at optimizing their game sizes than other studios, but like, I mean, optimistically, this is what, probably like 5 to 8 games.
I would say it's probably going to be on the upper end of that, at least for Nintendo games. I have not had one issue. Yes, I do have an SD card in my Switch, but I haven't had one issue with storage on my Switch, and I have a hell of a lot of games downloaded, so I don't really have an expectation that this will be... I probably will still buy an SD card, but I don't think I will feel like I'm running out very quickly.
I'm just doing some like quick Googling. So like Kirby in the Forgotten Land is 6 gigabytes. Let's do Smash Brothers Ultimate. That is 17, and Tears of the Kingdom is 18. So maybe this will go a little farther than I think.
Even if we double that biggest game, and let's say it's 30 gigabytes, is the next Zelda, 250 divided by 30, 36, it's like what, almost 10 games?
Yeah.
So not too shabby.
Anyway, so back to the positive. So we I mean, like, this is a noticeable upgrade. Like, the fact that we've, you know, jumped up a next resolution format for the handheld, 4K in the dock. I know there have been rumors about it. Didn't think we'd ever get here. I question whether that cute little fan they showed can really keep the system cool. But hey, here's rooting for them. I never thought I'd live to see the day where Nintendo says HDR in a presentation, but here we are.
I think one of the biggest takeaways from this showcase, specifically with the system specs and specifically the focus on third parties, I want to shout out, I don't know if Chris Plant wrote the article.
It was, yeah.
There is evidence here that Nintendo knows that their competition, and I don't think it has been for a while, but is no longer PlayStation, Xbox, and that their competition is PC, and it's the handheld PCs that have continually been improved and put out more and more over the past few years. And I am happy that they are committing to trying to provide a better experience. I think one of my biggest surprises, if not my biggest surprise, because while I love Nintendo, most of their games are pretty well optimized already. I didn't expect to really see a noticeable difference when I watched any of their games. Obviously, this is not Nintendo Direct, and I know that's a funny thing to say when we're talking about Nintendo Direct, but the difference between the Pokemon Legends ZA trailer here versus the one that was included in the Switch Direct is night and day is maybe drastic, but it is noticeable. It is, if I wasn't already committed to getting the Switch 2, if I was the biggest Pokemon fan, seeing that comparison would make me buy the Switch 2, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, even the thought of the way they presented, you know, something else we haven't talked about. Well, you mentioned the Nintendo Switch 2 Edition games. There's Super Mario Party Jamboree. There's both Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. There's Kirby and the Forgotten Land. This is maybe a very hyper-specific use case, but I didn't think going into today that the idea of playing Tears of the Kingdom on the Switch 2, because it's a game I have not had time to boot up on my Switch 1 yet, playing that on the Switch 2 would be one of the biggest selling points for me getting a Switch 2. And I don't even say that cynically. Like, it's not like, oh man, the only thing I've looked forward to is playing a Switch 1 game. Like, no, like, they have convinced me that this is going to be a noticeable enough upgrade that I should be excited to play my favorite Switch games and Switch games I haven't played yet on this console.
I went back and watched the direct stream from Nintendo's YouTube channel versus watching a channel watch it and react to it. And not as much as Arceus, but there is a noticeable difference with Tears of the Kingdom. I looked at it and I was like, this is unbelievably smooth and infinitely crisper than it was on the Switch. Now, while I do think Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, those games, like Nintendo often does, are immaculately designed artistically to work with what the system has to offer, I don't think those games' art design doesn't require crispness. It still looks really, really, really good. And I am excited to see them doing that. And I think in a similar vein, one thing that we maybe don't have too much to talk about, but I do want to note that, again, maybe a piece of information that should have been in the showcase and not included afterwards, is that they are also doing free upgrades to former games on the Switch, like Super Mario Odyssey, like Pokemon
Arceus?
No, no, Scarlet Violet. Scarlet Violet. I almost called it Motorcycle and Motorcycle.
ATV versus Cross Road.
But there's a few other games. List Arms. Fuck yeah. A few other games. And I love to see them do that for free.
It is kind of weird they didn't mention that. That would have been more good news.
And they did so many frames where they would put three games and they would slowly pan to more games, and they could have done that for that set of games. I do want to note here, I think I gave you slightly false information earlier, and I think the audience should know. So back to the Nintendo Switch 2 Edition games. I want to talk about all the ones that were announced and how some of them differ from others. So we have Metroid Prime 4 and Pokemon Legends ZA, which is what I would call the cross-gen games that are going to get Switch 2 versions sold that are like, hey, these will perform better. For example, Metroid Prime 4, if you want, can run at 120 frames per second on the Switch 2. We already talked about how Pokemon Legends ZA runs better. Then you have Mario Party Jamboree and Kirby in the Forgotten Land plus Star-Crossed World, which is the original game improved with resolution and higher frame rates with additional content. Then you have The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, which, as we said, better resolution, upgraded frame rate. Those, if you have Nintendo Switch Online, you will get for free. You will not get Mario Party Jamboree and the Kirby and Forgotten Land upgrades for free. Those are not included in Nintendo Switch Online. Those will be the upgrade purchases that you can make if you already own the previous game for an undisclosed price.
At the end of the day, like, Jake and I were laughing and talking about this. I you know, slept over at his house. I worked here today. So we've, like, been talking on and off about it, but while avoiding, like, eating off the whole, you know, head of the snake, if you will, before this podcast. That so much of this comes down to Nintendo can get away with not just these weird decisions, but communicating them in the way that they do, unlike any other games company. Even PlayStation would just get, like, you know, people still don't let them off the hook for the shit they left off their 2020 state of plays or, you know, PlayStation showcases before the PS5 launch. And all of this stuff about the Switch 2 will be blips in our rearview mirror in, like, 3 months.
Very much like the conversation of, holy shit, these PS5 games are also going to be on PS4. That's crazy. Think about how much more powerful they could be. This is a similar situation where the Nintendo Switch 2 edition games aren't going to matter in a year, year and a half, 2 years. What I don't understand, due to the way that they have priced and explained these, they should have either A, all been free upgrades, or B, Metroid Prime 4, Pokemon Legends Zot, Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild, games that are frankly just getting resolution and frame rate upgrades. If you have Nintendo Switch Online, you get, just like PlayStation, or PlayStation doesn't do this, but they should have, you get it for free. You get the boost for free. And then Kirby and Mario Party Jamboree should have just been, like, resold as new games. They should have been 1 to 2 minute reveals in the Switch 2 summer or September Direct, and they should have been sold at $10 more. Hey, they have upgraded resolution frame rate, but they also have new content. Done. Just like you did Super Mario 3D World from the Wii U to the Switch. Because if, frankly, for being honest, it's not any different. Like, the only reason that felt more exciting is because no one fucking owned the Wii U. These feel more egregious because people have played these games.
Yeah, it feels, like you said, Jamboree and Kirby and the Forgotten Land, those make sense as, like, I get where you're not going to put those in NSO because they have new, like, substantial new content. Metroid Prime 4, Legends of, they're grandfathered in. Sure, I'll allow it. But, like, if Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom are included in NSO, but you get Mario Odyssey or Scarlet Violet for free, that really does feel like we're just going to put our two most valuable games, or at least the ones that people want the upgrades for most, behind a paywall. It doesn't feel great.
No, it doesn't. Is there anything else that doesn't feel great that you would like to talk about before what I would argue before is the great part? Before
we glaze the showcase?
Yes.
I think that's pretty much... Oh, well, so speaking of the Nintendo Switch 2 editions, Jake just highlighted box art.
It's ugly.
Well, the box art already not great. I think the Switch logo, I like. It is representative of it while still being simple. You got your two rectangles, you got your name logo, that's fine. But because it is square-like, they put it in a corner, so it doesn't eat up too much of the box art. They've decided to throw that ethos out the door with the Switch 2 and do your PlayStation, Xbox typical horizontal strip across the top of the box art. But rather than stretch out and fill said box with the words Nintendo Switch 2 and maybe put the logo in the top left or top right, they've just decided to center it all quite smallly in the middle of the horizontal line across the top, just eating up so much dead space. And if that isn't, I'm willing to allow that, especially because they popped off on the box art for Donkey Kong, Bonanza, and Mario Kart World. But for the Nintendo Switch 2 edition games, which do have their own new box arts because they're new SKUs, that's another reason they're marketing them this way, is they want to sell more copies of, you know, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. they have to put a paragraph's worth of fine print at the bottom explaining that when you open this, you're getting a Switch 1 cartridge and an online voucher for the Switch 2 edition.
The Switch 2 edition boxes are extremely ugly, and I am very sad that they couldn't figure out a better way to at least explain those. I don't know why that disclaimer couldn't just be on the back. Maybe put like a small box that says like, look at back.
Well, Jake and I have already remarked how the back of game boxes have become just absolute no man's lands. Like, it's just 90% legal disclosures and fine print and online terms and agreement. And then you're lucky to maybe get a screenshot at the top. Why couldn't we just added all that to the back?
Back to the normal Switch 2 box, it makes no sense that you would design the Switch 2 logo to match the size of the original Switch logo, but then design your box in a way that that logo looks awful. There, it's not only that the due to the logo being centered that there's too much dead space on the sides. There's also too much dead space above and below. The rectangle is too large. If they would have just slid the logo to the left or right and made it bigger, I honestly wouldn't have, I don't think I would have hated it as much, but it's pretty bad. On the other hand, the red cartridge is kind of hot.
I was going to say, it was like, I want to really like it, but at the same time, it's probably best that I don't, because this really does look like the first generation that really is going to push me all digital.
And it makes me sad. I really, not that I have been a collector in the past few years, but I've kind of made a note to stop selling games unless I really have no interest in being the owner of that game in my collection. Even if I didn't love it, I have kept it. And this is the first moment where I've had to question, is it worth it? Is it worth spending potentially $10 to $20 more on every game to get a box that is now just a digital copy of the game? Or should I just do what they all want me to do and start buying digital games?
I think it was Matt Piscatella made the point that Nintendo, maybe, I think they know and expect that at least for a long time, until there's a potentially huge global event like a pandemic or some sort of huge market change that changes this, the Switch 2 is not going to sell like the Switch 1. But if more owners are buying games digitally on the Switch 2 compared to the Switch 1, and games are priced at $10 to $20 more than they are on the Switch 1, when, especially when digital sales, Nintendo's making more money off of that purchase than you are physically, they're going to be okay. And it even like the box art, this is where the point I'm building toward, it feels like they're very much like, ah, fuck it, ship it. Like, we don't want people buying these pieces of shit anyway.
A little bit. One thing that they do think is going to make people buy it, but I don't think will make most adults buy it, is Nintendo Game Chat. Not something necessarily I'm negative on, something that I'm neutral on. They are introducing their own version of Discord. It looks exactly like Discord, uses the same exact UI, and you can now, for the first time ever in 2025, chat with your friends on the system. You don't have to use a Nintendo app on your phone. They appear on the bottom of your screen. It's not a casual thing in the background. They are at the bottom of your screen. And
that's a good point.
Maybe some other like cool functions before I get to the weirdest thing is, if you want, you can. So I would say it's different in this way. When you get on PlayStation Party Chat, you're talking to a bunch of people on a mic. That is it, period, nothing more than that. With this, yes, that is what you're doing, but they are, like I said, always at the bottom of your screen. If you want, you guys can all screen share, and so you can kind of see what all your friends are doing while you play your game, which honestly is kind of neat. I don't hate that. As someone who has more like recently been playing games while my friends play like a game of Overwatch, I would love to be able to watch that while I continue to play my game. I actually don't hate that idea. The other thing you can do is buy the Nintendo camera. Plug it into the top of your Switch and have your face appear in the Discord box while you talk to your friends.
We don't know how much the camera costs yet.
No, I don't think so.
Want to put your bet down?
$80?
You say $100. Why not?
Thank God they didn't pack this into the box.
Yeah, that would have truly been a Kinect moment. It is, like, if anything, if I had to pick a moment of the Direct that dragged on the most, it was this. It did truly feel like Nintendo was selling something 10 years, 15 years too late. It didn't look bad. They didn't present it poorly. It just felt very like, oh, Nintendo, like, you're really going to like spend this. Is this really, I highlighted it to Jake and I won't bother trying to find it again, but it really does seem like Nintendo wants to make multiplayer and online connectivity the like selling point of the Switch 2. I can't find the press release itself, but it more or less in the headline said, like, bringing new forms of game communication to players. And like, seriously, man, like, you know, when Discord exists, when you can play games with friends and share your screen with others, like, hopefully this makes it more streamlined. And yes, you don't have to open up another app for it, but it feels a little dated. But like, even if you go on the Mario Kart World store page, or at least the website for it, right there, they have the slogan for what seems to be like the Switch 2 itself, which is all together, anytime, anywhere. And so they're not just applying that to the system, they're applying it to the games as well.
They're betting big on another pandemic. That I know that sounds weird to say, and obviously that is not the actual motive behind this, but they saw what happened to the Switch and what happened to Animal Crossing when something like that happened. And while I don't think they are literally betting that another pandemic is going to happen, they want that to be in place in the situation that Nintendo becomes a larger social space than it is right now, which obviously, like Sam and I've joked about, they're catching up. They aren't necessarily setting a standard, but I'm glad they're here, question mark?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not offended by this. I think the problem is just that, like you said, it's actually a pretty good use case. There are a lot of people that just play games with each other, but they're not playing the same game. They're just all playing their own game, but want to share them that experience. I think this is really cute for that. Just the problem is, like, the platform agnostic nature of it all.
Sam, we've talked about a lot. The Switch, 4K, 120 frames per second, 1080 screen. It has mouse capabilities. There's a new Pro Controller. We didn't really talk about it. It's pretty. It has back paddles. Nintendo Game Chat, new boxes. It's coming out on June 5th. $450, $500 for the one with Mario Kart. We haven't talked about the games yet. You ready to get in the games?
Let's talk about the games.
We opened, before we got into basically everything we just talked about, which took out roughly 25 to 30 minutes of Direct, we had 5 minutes of the new Mario Kart title, officially titled, as I predicted, but I don't think officially, Mario Kart World. Sam, are you excited for the next entry in the Mario Kart franchise?
Of course. I'm glad it's not Mario Kart 10. I'm glad it's not Mario Kart 9. I like Mario Kart World. I think it obviously very much sells what this thing is, which is still a little... I guess they've sold it well enough that they leave me wanting more. There is a Direct on April 17th?
Correct.
Where we'll learn more about this game that has open world elements? Is open world entirely? Is open zone? I'm not entirely sure, but this is easily the most open Mario Kart game so far. It looks great. There's 24 racers. You are going across whatever Nintendo's version of the world is. There is a map where there's a bunch of like distinct courses that are linked in hubs, and there's a mode where you can drive between the courses, and that's part of the overall race. It's very much like, I don't understand all of this, but I am very much interested.
I want to shout out a few things on the website page. I don't normally look at video game website pages, but theirs is very pretty. They also have a page where they show how all the courses connect. It looks like the board for the train game.
Ticket to Ride.
It looks like a Ticket to Ride board. I am unbelievably excited for this game. A few things I want to highlight. One, this game looks gorgeous. I was very worried that they were going to resort to an art style similar to the one that they used for the DLC, which I thought was pretty bad. That is not the case here. It looks gorgeous. Number two, they have not only potentially rehauled how Mario Kart like plays in terms of open world, it seems like they've rehauled a lot. It has a new font. I really like the font. I think it's actually quite stylish. There were some teas of a lot of new items, potentially costumes, which is pretty cool. There were some teas of some new characters that have never been in there before. And then that open world mechanic seems massive. To my understanding, this is not official. We will learn at the Direct, so I won't hypothesize for too long. My assumption is that Grand Prix pretty much function how they always have. If you're going to do an online race, if you're going to play with friends, they are how they normally are. There are four races. There are going to be laps. You are going to complete those races. Maybe there is a section in between where you drive and maybe you can get better placement. Maybe instead of being fifth, you now get to start third because you caught up in the in-between parts. My then other understanding is that the open world portion will be basically taking, which I know like you and I have joked about this before, when you look at Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I felt this way. I know other people felt this way. You look at that game, you're like, damn, all of the outside areas are so gorgeous. Why can't I explore those? They spent so many time building out these assets. Why can't I explore them? Well, now you can. And it seems like it is going to be mostly that. I assume, I think Greg threw out on the, Greg Miller on the Gamescast post the Nintendo Direct reveal, that he hypothesized that maybe that's the way you get costumes and car parts. And that is the way you unlock stuff, is you drive throughout the world, you find coins, you can drive around with friends, you can, in quote-unquote single player, you can find races and do stuff, but it is mostly just a mode to experience all that. It's a new way to play Mario Kart, which I am perfectly fine with.
I mean, if they add Burnout Paradise, Forza Horizon style, explore the open world and smash billboards or find collectibles, like you said, this might be the greatest game of all time.
I mean, we haven't even talked, so take that, the open worldness, and then the new elements they've added. There's rail grinding, there's wall running, essentially. There's
boats. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
There's boats, there's planes. I guess there's still, like, the air glider thing. There's so much packed into this trailer. So many courses that look cool as hell.
I mean, I don't know if it's a glider, but it does look like a plane.
That is definitely a plane. I am so, so fucking excited for this game and cannot wait for the Direct.
All the new characters are like, very funny. Like, it's nothing, like, absolutely crazy, but we have Pauline in there. We have the Penguin from Super Mario 64. You said there was, like, a Delfino Island villager from Sunshine. I love cartoonized America. And this very much seems to be taking a lot of iconography from, like, Route 66 and all the different landscapes of the states and putting them in a Mario texture. So, yeah, I mean, you can't get much better of a launch game than this.
So, so, so excited. I will, unfortunately, happily pay $80, $90 for it. I'll do what I have to.
Well, here's the thing.
I guess that's true. I'll get the Switch with it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I was on the fence about, like, how badly do I want this physically, but when I learned it's, like, I guess, like, a $30 to $40 discount getting the bundle, I will be certainly spending $500, add a zero to that, to get that bundle.
So they opened with that, and then there was a lot of system information. We've kind of already talked about the Nintendo Switch 2 edition games, which were kind of sandwiched and all that. The one thing that was sandwiched in that we haven't talked about is an expansion, Nintendo Switch Online. Sam, congrats to your prediction that GameCube would be added. I'll let you talk about this.
I was right. The Nintendo Switch Online is coming to Switch 2, and it's going to have the same perks you had and a bit more. And I was like, oh, GameCube. And sure enough, we get the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And the first game they show is the Wind Waker. Either A, debunking that the HD version is coming anytime soon, if at all, this generation. And I also think B, confirming that if that is one they're willing to put out on online, I think pretty much most GameCube games, at least from Nintendo, are going to end up here. If they're not being precious about that one, you know, beating the remaster, then, you know, Sunshine I saw on there. I know that's gotten the whole 3D All-Stars thing, but Pokemon Colosseum, Gale of Darkness, Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, a lot coming. I think the ones they confirmed at launch were Wind Waker, Jake has them written down here. Wind Waker, F-Zero GX, and Soul Calibur 2. Which already, like, hey, one of those is third party. That's pretty cool. And yeah, I mean, I guess I'm excited for every Direct between now and probably the next 3 to 4 years for them to announce three more GameCube games coming to the service.
I was hoping to find the ones that were upcoming, the ones that will come out after these initial three. I will say, this was maybe the biggest double-edged sword announcement. The first game that they revealed was Wind Waker, and that to me meant, at minimum, that we are going to have to wait quite a while for the Wind Waker Twilight Princess remasters, which is really unfortunate, because I've been wanting to play Wind Waker for a while, and now I have to wait longer if I don't want to play the GameCube version. That sucks. That's disappointing. On the other hand, I now have an easy way to play Wind Waker, which is really cool. And I, in the future, will have an easy way to play Super Mario Sunshine, Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, Super Mario Strikers, which is awesome, Chibi-Robo, Plug Into Adventure, Luigi's Mansion, and Pokemon Colosseum. And that's not including the, presumably, I can't say many more, because the N64 service is still kind of slim, but the more that will come in the future.
Yeah, like, probably Pikmin 1 and 2, unless, I mean, the funny thing is, like, I don't want to hesitate on games that have gotten remaster reports before, because so is Wind Waker, so, like, Metroid Prime 2, question mark, Pikmin 1 and 2, Double Dash, like, Melee, I don't know, it's a pretty good boon to keep people subscribed, or get new hardware owners to subscribe.
So now, I kind of want to roll into two sections. We're going to talk about the other launch games, which are pretty much predominantly third-party games, and then we'll get into the other games announced that were not necessarily going to be at launch. There are two other first-party games that are going to come out at launch. One of them is a game called Drag X Drive, which is the mouse wheelchair basketball game.
I said it last week, I was right, Nintendo did announce one game that is specifically meant to be played with the mice. I don't know whether this looks really intuitive and cool or really clunky and lame. What is not lame is, hey, it's pretty cool that Nintendo made a game where your player characters are in wheelchairs. That's cool. I think it looks like it has some Nintendo flair to it in that, like, you know, you can high five and you can do cool tricks behind the basket. Now, how much will this cost? Is it going to wear your arms out within like 3 minutes? I'm not sure, but, you know, Nintendo, I'm glad it's not all just franchises and characters we know.
One thing that I thought was very funny about this game, and one thing that I motioned to you while we were watching, is the way you control your wheelchairs, like a real wheelchair, where you kind of have to pull the mice back. And I was like, if you want to go fast, like, that's going to hurt your shoulders very quickly, which I guess it does in real life, so it's very realistic. neat that this is how they're doing it. Will this be good? I have no idea, but it is cool that they are making it. The other one that I don't think I even wrote down because
I thought you were going to move on to Hyrule Warriors, but you remembered everyone's favorite launch title.
Do you have the title?
Yeah, of course, Jake. The Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Area.
This is pretty much the biggest laugh of the showcase. Every single reaction I've watched is everyone giggling their asses off. This is a tech demo. They straight up say it's a tech demo in the video. You play as a little mini guy who can run around on a Joy-Con, interact with things that tell you things about the system. Occasionally you'll get a mini game that lets you play mice mini game or motion control mini games, and this will cost money.
I was going to say, Jake, this isn't just any tech demo. It's a premium tech demo. Maybe this should have been a harbinger of what the flip side, all of the bad news for today really comes down to, man, Nintendo's making money off this. And maybe we should have known when they announced this thing was going to be a paid game that was a sign of things to come.
To kind of circle back around to the whole price thing, I still, obviously,
I think the console itself is fine. I'm not mad about the console.
I'd prefer it be more consumer friendly. But as long as Nintendo keeps giving me my favorite games of all time, if I'm just continuing to fund that, that's fine.
That's fair.
it's like they do make... They have made probably like 10 of my last favorite 12 games over the last generation. And so, I don't know, it does suck because they are abusing my love for them. But also, maybe they deserve it more than anyone else.
No, that's fair. And they don't put microtransactions in their game. And they, you know, all of the Mario Kart DLC, I won't say is free, but you get with your membership. So you make a good point that, like, if I'm going to give $80 to any game, I'd much rather give it to a Nintendo game that gives me everything all in one than, like, 2K26. But, those were the first three, including Mario Kart, first-party games shown for the Switch 2.
There really wasn't much else shown. We'll get to the other two first-party games shown when we get to the non-launch games. But then with a big, I would say like 20 to 25-minute third-party rock block of a mix of games that are coming at launch and games that are coming later. The ones that are coming at launch, Hogwarts Legacy, Cyberpunk 2077, Hitman World of Assassination, Deltarune Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, I missed that those are launching on launch day. That's crazy.
Fortnite, Street Fighter VI, Split Fiction, and Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. Personally, very excited that Hitman is coming to Switch. While I love my Steam Deck, some of those games still have issues. They are not all approved. You have to deal with settings. Hitman is one of those games. So the fact that I have that on here with a thing that is equivalent, probably even a little better than the Steam Deck, is awesome. Cyberpunk 2077, a game I have wanted to give another try now that everything's been fixed. Again, I've heard it runs good on the Steam Deck. Presume it would run great here. Very excited for that. Street Fighter VI. It's weird because I've owned a Switch for as long as I have. I've owned a Steam Deck now for as long as I have. There is something about the effect of getting a quote-unquote console game on a handheld. And I will say, it's different than the Steam Deck. Going to the Steam store and downloading a game when it's discounted and having to configure settings is not the same as buying a thing, putting in, and it working. Will I get Street Fighter VI? Probably not. Maybe I will? I don't know.
I mean, I would be lying. I saw a tweet, I think it was maybe Janet Garcia, that said it. It's like, maybe it's lame to get excited for shit like Elden Ring coming to the Switch 2 when it's been playable on Steam Deck since the Steam Deck launch. But I, increasingly, as I spend more time working and just, or managing life and having other hobbies, like, when I game, I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time getting ready to game. I just want to click a button on a window and immediately get into it. And the Switch 2 makes it really easy for it. And not just that, I prefer the form factor of the Switch to the Steam Deck. It's more comfortable, it's less bulky, it's easier to travel with. So, heck yeah, like, again, I'm going to be dropping a lot of money on this. And most likely, I'm probably just going to rock my first month, especially knowing what the last game we'll talk about is coming only a month later. I'll probably spend my first month with just Tears of the Kingdom and Mario Kart World. But I would be lying if I won't be a bad day with still having money away from buying Cyberpunk and or Hitman on launch day.
Yeah, it is going to be very hard for me not to get Hitman before our vacation, to not have that be the vacation game. Wind Waker, if Mario Kart World is everything they're making out to be, maybe those will pull me away, but I'm very tempted.
Before we move on to how the show ended, Jake, any other third-party games? You talked about the ones coming at launch. Any other ones announced that you want to discuss?
Yeah, there are five others I wanted to touch on. Elden Ring, which many people thought would be here. Hollow Knight Silksong, which is just inherently funny that they shoved this in a sizzle reel. Hades 2, which is going to come out on the Switch 2 and Switch 1 first.
I missed that.
I'm pretty sure they announced for both. And then Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, a game that I wouldn't play on console, but maybe we'll play on Switch 2. The last one I want to shout out, because it was so weird that it was here, is the James Bond game that is being made by IO, the developers of Hitman. We've seen nothing about this game. It was announced 2-ish years ago. The fact that they are committing to bringing this game to Switch 2 is pretty fucking cool.
And I also think it's very indicative of where third-party game development is right now. I don't think this is going to be everything. There's going to be plenty of, you know, cutting-edge third-party games. Like, Witcher 4 ain't coming to Switch 2. But I wouldn't be surprised. Much like the Switch was probably a third of the way there, like, we're going to see a generation where half, if not more, third-party games also come to Switch 2. And this is exciting, even if it was, I'm pretty sure, the exact same reveal trailer we got for this game like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, there wasn't much here, and I think it was a little deflating when people realized this was all we're getting, but I am still excited to see that it's going to be getting third-party support beyond porting titles that have already come out.
I mean, think about the world where a Nintendo Direct doesn't just get amazing first-party Nintendo reveals, but it starts becoming a place where we get crazy third-party reveals.
Speaking of crazy third-party reveals,
oh, yeah, shit.
The second-to-last announcement was a exclusive From Software game directed by Miyazaki himself. This is called The Dusk Bloods. I do think it's important to caveat that the excitement for this trailer has diminished a bit, at least what I've seen online from FromSoft fans, because on initial glance, it seems like a traditional From Software action game, vampires, action, kind of looks like Bloodborne meets Dark Souls.
People thought it was a Castlevania thing, or Bloodborne 2, until the title drop.
And then it was revealed that it is a 8-player PvPvE game, where you fight to stay alive against normal Dark Souls, Bloodborne-type enemies, and other players, which, none of that is my thing. Like, it wasn't my, I don't even know if I would have gotten this pre the announcement that it was PvPvE. It honestly doesn't change my excitement for it. It's just very funny that Nintendo in 2025 is getting a exclusive From Software game that is multiplayer focused.
It's such like a monkey paw curling of like new IP from some From Software, inspiration from Bloodborne, exclusive to Switch 2, online PvPvE game. Like, I mean, honestly, thankfully, I think Elden Ring Night Rain shows that there probably really isn't, people shouldn't be worried about this game.
Yeah.
It might not be for you, but it's probably going to be good.
Yes, and that's ultimately all that matters. I'm excited to hear more. A game that I don't really care to hear more about, but it's cool that it's happening. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Imprisonment.
Oh, I do care to hear about that title.
I got a big laugh from Sam and I during the show. This is the sequel to Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, which was a prequel to Breath of the Wild, while this is a prequel to Tears of the Kingdom. It is Zelda focused. It's focused on the war that led up to Tears of the Kingdom. This is not my kind of game. It's a Musou action game, but cool that it's happening.
Yeah, I need to play Tears of the Kingdom first, which means, and then I need to play Echoes of Wisdom. So I'll never get to this, but like, I've heard they're good. I hope this one's even better than, it wasn't called Age of Calamity. What was that one called?
Was it not?
I don't know. I'll get to the bottom of it while you talk about the next first party reveal.
So I think this was the third to last announcement.
I'm sorry.
You're good. We get a very Smash Bros. Like opening tease. There's a thing falling from the sky. Everyone starts to realize it's Kirby's star. Kirby lands on the star. He starts beating the shit out of the star. And you're like, okay.
It's hype.
Every like second is like, this might be another Kirby Air Ride. And then he keeps hitting the star and the star lights up. And then they show an engine. It's like, holy shit, they're making another Kirby Air Ride game. And then I added a number here that's not relevant.
Just Air Riders.
Yeah, Kirby Air Riders is the official title. He lands gorgeous. It's a CGI trailer, but a gorgeous landscape. He rides his little star into the sunset. You get the title Kirby Air Riders. And then you get an extra frame that says directed by blank. It's the director of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Masahiro Sakurai.
Yeah.
Very cool. I've learned from his YouTube channel that he edits all of his trailers himself, which explains the very Smash Brothers epic, like, energy of Kirby fucking punching a star until it revs up. And I even like the little wink of Sakurai creating his own little logo, because before we even see the name, we see the little icon he used for his YouTube videos. And it feels like a cool full circle moment, because I mean, he's about to be working on this thing for like 4-ish years, because he talked about a secret project he was working on when he shot those videos, which was several years ago. So cool that he's still making games. Cool that this is back. I never played Air Ride, so
Air Ride has been, I think we've talked about this on the podcast, I was obsessed with that box art when I was a kid.
Yeah.
As someone who loved Kirby and just thought racing on a star seemed cool, I always wanted this game, never got to play it. Maybe it will come to Nintendo Switch Online.
That'd be cool.
I am excited for this. Is it weird that it's going to come out the same year as a new Mario Kart game? 100%. Is it going to be something different? Probably. Sam, one final game was announced at the end. It's the final first-party game. That is Donkey Kong Bonanza, a 3D action platformer. It is coming out July 17th. Sam, we all thought there was going to be a 3D Mario game. It did not occur. We got the 3D Donkey Kong game that kind of was rumored for a very long time and everyone kind of thought got shelved or put to the side. It's happening. It's here. How do you feel about it?
The snake ate its tail so hard on that rumor that I did forget for 2 to 3 years. It was like the Odyssey team is making a Donkey Kong game. And then everyone just, well, not everyone, but I kind of forgot about that. But here we are. It looks great. You know, I think, again, being honest, I did feel a little air get let out of my balloon when Mario never showed up. I drank so much hopium from Tim Geddes about being like, it's a Mario Donkey Kong team-up game. And I just kept waiting for the moment that Mario was going to show up here. That outside of that, taking it for what this is, this looks cool. We're really owning the new Donkey Kong rebrand, and I'm here for it. I like that he has overalls. I know some people are mad that he has pants, but I think he looks dapper. I like the new enemies. I think the world design looks really cool and very Odyssey inspired. A lot of these, when this trailer started, I'm like, oh, we're looking at new kingdoms. I'm a little, not skeptical, but curious about how the digging mechanic is going to work, which seems to be one of the main, like, back of the box, if those used to exist, or when those used to exist, bullet points of like, you know, it's a subterranean adventure. You're burrowing underground to find secrets. And whenever that gets introduced, especially in a 3D environment, my fear is like, where the limits, where we boxed in, how thoughtful is the level design, if you can do this at any point, or if it is much more controlled. Murphy's going crazy.
He loves Donkey Kong.
How do we know
Kong.
When we can use it? Murphy is somewhat of a little Donkey Kong himself. But hey, I'll play any 3D platformer from Nintendo.
My excitement for this has grown every hour of the day. I went back and watched the actual video itself. It looks fucking gorgeous. I am really excited, as someone who loves 3D platformers, and we don't get many of them, to have a character with a new moveset, a new movement feel. I think, like I said earlier, I love that I can still be excited for a 3D Mario and also have this to look forward to. I think as someone who's been largely disappointed in the PS5 generation because PlayStation has sat on its hands and has rested on its laurels and put out sequels and really not had too much new stuff, as a company, that being Nintendo, that often just continues to have new entries and franchises that I adore, I'm kind of excited to see them have this, knowing that we will get another 3D Mario. It's not like that's gone. I'm excited to have this now in the rotation of something to look forward to. I think the action part of it looks pretty fun. The punches look very forceful. I'm interested to see what they do with that moveset. My biggest concern here is I didn't see in the trailer how they can keep this fresh and inventive over the course of a game. A lot of their more recent stuff that has been so creative has relied on an overall game mechanic that allows for multiple mini mechanics. Think about Odyssey, think about Wonder. Honestly, think about Tears of the Kingdom in that way.
Echoes of Wisdom.
This game doesn't seem to have that, and I really hope that it means that this might just be a like true blue either collectathon and or platformer, and it is platforming challenges, kind of like the 2D Donkey Kong games. There's also 2D segments that were shown that look gorgeous.
Yeah, that's true. Those looked awesome.
And I have a lot of hope in this. I think it will be really good. I'm very excited for it. Love that it's coming out in July. That was the show.
Yeah. And that's mostly this show. We'll do our rotating segments and all that stuff next week. Jake, closing questions for you. Will you be pre-ordering this?
If I can, yes.
The Mario Kart 9 bundle, or World bundle. Take me a while to get 9 out of my system.
Yes, what about you?
If I can, I think my partner Katie and I are going in on a system together. We have a quite expensive year with a lot of travel and weddings that we're in. So I think going on it together, especially when we already play games together as is, if that's the case, 100%. We'll be bringing it on our family vacation together. Speaking of the summer, I think the last big surprise for me was the date at the end of this Donkey Kong thing. I was expecting fall or a October date specifically, whatever have you. July tells me, I mean, you gotta think, there's at least one more fall game from Nintendo this year. I know we have Legends Za, I know we have Metroid Prime, but I still feel like there's one more thing. Or maybe it's just Kirby Air Riders. I don't know. Is there one more game from Nintendo around the corner this year? And if so, are we getting another Direct this summer?
I'm torn. Part of me thinks they will follow in the footsteps of the Switch 1. There's obviously more distance between the Switch 1 reveal and the Summer Direct. Part of me thinks in end of June, they will have a Direct, and it will include a big game that's coming out in the fall that we don't know about, along with if a lot of teases for future titles to get people to buy into this system if they haven't already, to sustain excitement past the first 2 months. There's also part of me that thinks that a new Mario Kart, a new Donkey Kong, a new Kirby, a new Pokemon, and a new Metroid Prime mixed in with all of these third-party games is by far enough that they can wait till September to do the next Direct. And this will be the slate for this year. Maybe there will be another surprise. Maybe they'll have one more thing here. I'm not sure, but my guess is, if I had to place a bet, this is the major games for this year.
I, just for funsies, I'll play counter to you. I think there will be a late June Direct where we'll get another look at Donkey Kong, and they will date Metroid. And I don't know about Pokemon tends to do its own thing, but we'll get a date for Metroid. We'll get a launch window, if not a date for Kirby Air Riders, which will be this fall. And I think we'll get one more game. There was so much reporting around the Switch 2's delay from 24 to 25 that it was about having the best launch lineup or best, like,
it's a great point,
first year of software possible, and, you know, 3D chessing this out, Mario Kart World in June, Donkey Kong July, Metroid in August, what am I forgetting?
Kirby September.
What's in October? Because Pokemon's usually November.
That is a fair point. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what comes. Sam, we might have to revisit our predictions next episode.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
I need to go kick a ball around on a field in progressively colder winds, but that is fine. Sam, today was a lovely day. I'm excited the Switch 2 is real. I'm excited that we've seen it. Any last words?
I'm glad we could spend it together. You know, I love going through our gaming, not just life, but our gaming life together.
We weren't here for the PS5 launch, were we?
The podcast?
Yeah.
No, we launched the year after.
Excited,
so yeah, this is our first console, wow.
I'm excited that we got to be here for a launch. But that's it, folks. That's been the show. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Shout out to Mitsuki Kueda for the podcast artwork, and shout out to Thamiverse Remix for the music. Send any comments, questions, concerns to our email, thesupermojobrothershow@gmail.com, or our Twitter account, @supermojobros. And most importantly, subscribe, leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day. We love you. Be kind. Jump up and be a goddamn superstar.
Wahoo!
Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh.